Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Need a place to talk sports? You've come to the right place. CBS Sports Radio.
Hour three of this four-hour radio get-together on a Saturday night, Memorial Day weekend. Chris Moore with you. Nice to have you with us wherever you may be on this Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully all is going well and you're battling through as you have over the last couple months as best as possible and appreciating what you do have and not worrying too much about what you don't. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times indeed, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Take some phone calls later in the hour. Right now, always nice to be joined by my old friend E.J. Raddick, H. Raddick Perot, as I used to call him back in the ESPN days, years and years and years ago. Mr. Raddick, how are you, my friend?
I am good, Mr. Moore. Good to hear your voice and hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I hope you're doing well as well and everybody around you on the personal side before we get to the hockey side, which we will get to. And, of course, EJ, a senior reporter for the NHL Network. How's it been, man? I mean, like, how's it been for you and the people you're in contact with every day? And how frustrating are you? And just on the you know, on the human side, which is so much more important than the business side for us, how you doing?
Well, I've been, very fortunate, knock on wood. I mean, everybody, I have three children, and we're all doing pretty well. My daughter actually was under the weather for a while, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We were a little concerned, but she did not have the virus, so she recovered and she was okay. So that was a little bit of a scare, but you know, just like everybody else, just trying to do what we can, I just try to listen to the science, try to listen to the local officials and the state officials and just try to do what's best because it impacts other people. It's not just about what happens for me in my house. It could affect people anywhere in all kinds of different circumstances. So we're just trying to get through it and you know, we get to talk some hockey once in a while. That's fun. It gives a little bit of a diversion. But, you know, hopefully everybody out there listening, hopefully they're doing the best they can, and we can kind of work our way through this. You and I have been around a long time, Chris, and we've never seen anything like this.
No, I was thinking that before. Yeah, I was thinking that it doesn't make any difference how old you are or whatever because we're all experiencing this for the first time. So
yeah.
That's a weird thing because generally experience will teach you something, but this time around we all got blasted at the same time. What about the network in general and the NHL in general? What are you hearing about health? And, you know, you got a lot of young kids. You got a lot of players in their 20s and 30s starting young families. It's a family-oriented league, I think, more than the other leagues for whatever reason, the Europeans, et cetera. It's just, you know, there's always been a lot of kids around hockey, and there's always been a very tight-knit group there. So how's everything gone from the league perspective?
Well, I mean, I think that they're trying to do everything they can. I mean, the news from a possible return-to-play standpoint is that the Players Association, the executive committee voted, I believe it was 29-2, to continue to negotiate with the league on the potential plan that they have put forward with the 12 teams in each conference playing a playoff tournament, so to speak, and looks like in two different sites. The site's still to be determined. And, you know, they're trying to move forward with that. But as you know, Chris, and as the listeners know, there are so many obstacles to any kind of plan right now, and we just have to go through the process. And what we know today will be probably different than what we know tomorrow and next week and next month. So, you know, I think that the league and the Board of Governors and the Players Association are trying to move forward if possible, because like all businesses and sports business and other businesses, people are trying to pick up the pieces and move forward when they can. But you mentioned the families and, you know, young people around the game. And if players are going to agree to come back, do they want to, you know, would they want to have their families with them? I think that would be a major concern for them. So there's a lot of different things that obviously have to be worked out. But they've started some talk about this plan, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a physical game. I mean, in terms of the blood, sweat, and tears that are left out there, and even the celebrations. I mean, the celebrations to some degree, because you do wear gloves always anyway, and you do have helmets on, and, you know, a lot of it can be monitored a little bit, I'm sure. But you're right, in terms of logistics, there's just so many locker room things and, trainers and equipment managers and, you know, disinfecting so much. I mean, you want to smell something bad, go into a locker room after, right? I mean, is there anything really that compares to the smell of the goalie's pads after the moisture has gotten in them and you go into that locker room post-practice or post-game? It's not not the most pleasant part of the job. I think EJ can guarantee tell us that. So, yeah, the little things are definitely big things now.
Yeah, they are. I mean, there's like I say, there is a lot of hurdles. That's why I've talked about it with people. Imagine running a long race, and every time you take two or three strides, another hurdle or two hurdles just pop up
right
out of the ground.
Right.
You know, you come up with one idea, we think we can do this, and now four other things have surfaced. So it's tough times for everybody and for all people in different businesses, and certainly in the sports business. We're seeing it in all of the different sports. Some of them have been able to kind of move forward incrementally, but, the team sports are still trying to figure it all out. I mean, the NFL has been really fortunate when you think about the timing of this.
Yes,
and
yes,
the timing of the NFL season. They were even able to have a draft, which was a big event for them that they were able to pull off. And so they have been fortunate in the window, but who knows going forward where things are going to be down the road.
Yeah, and they're the most television focused, so they're
absolutely
more like a TV show than the other leagues are, for sure. And that's a big factor as well. And then you get, you know, the reworking of it all the time as time goes by and 2 weeks more go by, and now your window is closing even further, and yet you still want the revenue. What is the revenue situation for the league, and how serious is it? Are there any teams that are, you know, going to be hurt a lot more than other teams in this situation?
Well, I don't think, you know, none of the teams really come out and say, hey, we are in this situation, we are in that situation. You know how that works.
Yes,
Chris, right?
Yes.
But there are teams that obviously are better situated to handle a situation like this than others. I think most of the owners in pro sports now, I mean, you know, when we came into it, Chris, you know, millionaires could own these teams. Now, billionaires
right
are the ones that own these teams, because if you're a millionaire, you probably don't have enough money
yeah
to run a pro sports team. It's become that big a business right now. So the good news is that the guys who run these teams, that own these teams, are pretty financially solvent, and you hope they can move forward. Now, the NHL is a league that's still driven in a lot of ways, maybe more than the other sports, definitely more than some of the other major sports, by gate revenues. So that's out of the picture, right? There's going to be no fans. There will be television revenue, obviously. There could be local revenue, depending upon what happens playing first-round games. Obviously, there's still national revenue on the table. Even if that revenue has been paid in, if they don't play, then that's kind of owed back the next go-round. And for the NHL, a couple of things have been on the horizon. When you think, you know, the national TV deal in the U.S. is up at the end of next year, and so that's a consideration moving forward, and also the collective bargaining agreement. is also going to be up shortly. And that is something that, fortunately, the league and the PA have been discussing for, I would say, 18 months to 2 years. And the relationship between those two sides, which has been, let's face it, it hasn't been great when you go into the past with a couple of worse stoppages, but it has been better in more recent times. And I think that's really important right now, and they're lucky that that relationship has improved over the last couple of years, because they're going to need to work together to figure this out.
Yeah, and it's hard to speculate under these conditions about anything, and that seems like all we do, right? I mean, that's all people ask
that's
you
right.
to do is to speculate, and, you know, how important is it to the league, and what happens if this happens, what happens if that happens, and it really is very difficult when we're all dealing with this first-time personal issues that our own families and our own jobs and our own, you know, livelihoods are riding in the balance as well. It's just very difficult to focus on, you know, 3-2 Winnipeg. I mean,
just and you know, the other thing, Chris, is that moving out of this, let's just hope that we can continue to move out of this over time. How have we come out of this as a society? Or, you know, are people willing to gather in mass groups again like they were comfortably, depending upon what the science is and what the possibility is of a vaccine or how the spread of this thing goes in the future? I know that we look at history. We had the Spanish flu epidemic in the late 1910s. I guess it was 1918, 1917, 1919, and that window. And what followed that was the Roaring Twenties. So it does tell us that people will get back out and can get back out in the future. And that was in an era when we didn't have the scientific benefits we have today. So I'm trying to be optimistic and hopeful for the future, but you're absolutely right. It's a world of speculation right now, because we really have to focus on this as a day-to-day type thing.
Yeah, and no one's comfortable with that. You know, everybody wants an answer now. I mean, it's the world we live in right now, where you have a phone in your hand and you can find out. You know, I was in a conversation with somebody today. I said, how old's Richard Gere? And I was driving, and they said, I'll find out for you. And, you know, in 10 seconds, they told me how old Richard Gere was. And I was just you know, it's what a world it is now, where every answer is at your fingertips. It's no wonder that people are no good at I don't know here. And this whole thing has been, you know, 60 days of I don't know. We were hoping, you know, we were hoping that May 15th, we would know a lot more than we did on April 15th. And it turned out we didn't know much more. And I don't know what we'll know on June 15th. So that frustration goes beyond hockey, football, anything sports related. It goes, you know, it goes into, as you say, the psyche of everyone. And the other part I've been talking to some people about, and that is just the physical nature of connecting with each other the way we do. I mean, obviously you're still hugging your own children and everything, but in the sports world, you know, there's a lot of physical between fans, between teammates, you know, it's a natural expression of living on the planet as a human being. And to take that away now and to see athletes try to react and be unnatural because they can't do what comes naturally to them anymore will be, you know, will be fascinating to watch as we adapt.
Yeah, as I said, we're going to come out of this as a sports world, but as a society, in a little bit of a different place, right? We've all now, our circumstances in all of our lives have changed dramatically. Our brains have kind of adopted to some new habits and some different things. And so when we come out of this, we will not be coming into the same place we left. We'll be coming into a different place. Like you said, simple things like that. It will be unnatural at first for players to do that. And if we get into a circumstance, like I said, after the Spanish flu epidemic, over time, 2 or 3 years, we started, you know, big crowds again, and life kind of went on.
Right. And so I expect that too, but it's that 2 or 3 years. That's the part, right?
That's the part. That's exactly right.
Right.
And Chris, I can only speak for me. I don't have 2 or 3 years to give away.
Yeah, I don't know many people who do. I don't know too many people are. And you and I both, I mean, we feel, everybody involved in athletics really feels for these kids losing seasons. You know, I mean, playing seasons. Imagine being a junior trying to be recruited in any sport. Imagine that. I mean, losing your senior year. And I mean,
I'm dealing with youth hockey. My son plays youth hockey.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything is closed, and we're trying to figure out what's going to happen moving forward, and nobody really knows. And, you know, it's sad for those kids. It's sad for those high school seniors who are spring athletes.
Yeah.
we're looking forward to that baseball season. The same thing at the college level. And
yeah, I was, I started at Cornell my career in play-by-play, and Cornell hockey men and women were both ranked number one in the country. And the lacrosse team was ranked number two in the country, and it all got wiped away.
Wow.
I mean, who knows when they'll be there again as an Ivy League school, being two number ones and a number two in a spring sport and two winter sports. And, you know, I mean, hopefully they'll be back to those things. But those are, when you talk about not being able to give a year or two away, it's pretty tough, man, to say, oh, yeah, we were in great position, but then the pandemic came and we never got a chance to find out if we could be the champion. That's really tough.
It's really sad for those people. But again, the bigger picture, I mean, a lot of people, you know, those kids, it's sad they had that happen to them for sure, but at least they're hopefully all healthy and doing well and going to be able to continue when the time comes. There's others that, unfortunately, haven't been in that situation.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll find some silver linings. You and I agree on that. We'll find some things that will come out of it that will be better on the other side. But, look, I hope everybody stays healthy. I hope the NHL gets back, and I think they do need to play if they can because of, you know, the situations that we talked about, and because it's not the easiest league to make money in for all of the teams. Some of them do just great, but others, you know, are on the edge a little bit, and it's harder for them. And you don't want to lose fans either. You know, you don't want people to get out of the habit of watching the game and then not come back. So, tough times for sure. Good conversation, EJ. I appreciate it. Have a good Memorial Day weekend. Thanks.
You too, Chris. It's always great to talk to you. All the best.
All right. There you go. EJ Raddick, senior reporter for NHL Network. And again, we didn't, you know, you could tell that he's in my camp a little bit, that he doesn't, you know, it's just not a lot of fun to project what you don't know and pretend you do. Like the NHL, to their credit, fine. They approved a 24-team playoff scenario, and they basically agreed that the regular season is over. That's good. That's their job. But for me to come on and talk about, well, I wonder how that 24-team playoff will work out. And boy, it's too bad for those eight teams that didn't make it, and, you know, they didn't really get a chance. And I can't do that, man. I can't go there. I can't go there because, as EJ said, and we all agree, every week's a new adventure, and they'll have to deal with the clock, and they'll have to deal with competing with other sports that are going to be starting, and they'll have to deal with how they integrate the end of 2020 season or 1920 season to the overall health and benefit of the 2021 season, which they can't just run right into and play 110 games straight, 30 to end this year and then 80 to play next year. So the number of things that we don't know so far outweighs the number of things that we do know that, to me, speculation is really just, you know, it's playing cards. It's just time passing. It has no meaning whatsoever. Right? I mean, it really doesn't. They approved the 24-team playoff thing. It has no meaning. It means nothing. Unless lightning strikes and the whole thing goes away in 2 weeks, then it means something because then they can implement it. But that doesn't seem likely to anybody. So the speculation, I guess, to me, my point, I guess, more than anything, is that the speculation can wear you out, right? It can wear you out. Going on and on about things that aren't likely to ever come true, at least for some people like me, can wear you out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.